It is July 16th, 1986, and we're at Mrs. Nuttall's house interviewing Mrs. Nuttall, and I'm Shannon Crossley. The subject we're going to be talking about today is Cumberland Village and the houses on Main Street. Okay, Mrs. Nuttall, how long have you lived in this community?
43 years.
Do you know what year this house was built?
Not exactly the year, but it's somewhere in between from 96 to 100 years old now, in that vicinity, the last of the 90s.
Okay. Do you know who the builder was?
Yes, Mr. Faubert, Leonard Faubert. It was four brothers that built a house around here. One brother built this one, and the other one built the house at the back here. And the other one built that house just down along the way, just the next one to it. And the other one built the house across the highway. That's the Faubert house, which is down now on the museum grounds.
Okay.
That was the other brother.
Okay, so which brother built this one?
Leonard.
Okay. So
He was the original builder of this house and owner. He lived here.
He lived here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Then when he moved from here, I don't know lived here then, but I know that Vic Dunning, across the street when he was first married, lived here a short while, him and his wife. But I don't know just how long, but a few months or something. But then it was a small farm. This wasn't just this house and this piece of land. It had the piece of land across the street here at the back, and there was a big barn there that went with this house and those was it. And it had the land across the, was the railroad track then. And it was right down to the river. And then up on this side, it went right up across Market Street, right up on the hill, that strip of land right up there, that belonged to it. The Moffats bought it, old Mr. Moffat bought it. Well then, one of his sons got married and lived here with him, with the older people. And in what year, but in, I guess in the early 20s, this or in the 20s, end of the 20s, I suppose, they lost this home through a mortgage, you know, and a man by the name of John McCormick bought it, and Mr. McCormick, I don't know how many years he lived here, but he lived here in 1940 or 41, he died here. Because, you know, by 1940, because the house was vacant for a little over 2 years. Two years, he died in the very early months of the spring, March, I think. And we bought here in August, and it was 2 years from March to that over. And nobody lived here then. When he died, the wife went with one of the daughters up to Almont. And there was another daughter in Ottawa. And they never came down and seen to it or anything because they didn't know anything about their father's business, you see. And when we were looking for a place to rent. And we drove down as far as Stackhouses. Now Stackhouses is where the Sucarinis are living now. Stackhouses lived there. And that was the old Dale farm right across from the cemetery. Mr. Stackhouse said there's an empty house, there's a vacant house in the village. That would be probably, and he came back up and we came here to see the house. It's when I told you that when we stopped there and came down the front, that we had to part the long grass and the Manitoba maple brush and the all this for to get as far as the window of the house. And because in 2.5 years, you know, it can grow up pretty good. And I don't suppose it was cut down like a lawn or anything in the first place, you know. And we came, just looked in through the windows, and then, well, we were anxious to move. Not that we had to move, we were anxious to move. And then we said, well, we'd come as far as Cumberland because we were living just above Orleans on the hill. And we come to live here. So we got in touch with the daughter in Ottawa. And she said, yes, we could rent it. But give her time to come down and move the furniture out that was in. And they came down, and when they came down, they stopped at Orleans in the bank. And that's where Mr. McCormick did his business, in the bank. And they stopped there to find out if there was money owed on the taxes or something like this. Everything was paid up, and that Miss Charbonneau was the bank manager, and she was the executor of his will, and she said she didn't have any address of any of the family, and didn't have their married names of the two daughters, and they were waiting to see who would come along to do something about the house. That's the only thing she could do, to wait on that. The father had a will, and the will, the daughter in Almont got the furniture and the money that was in the bank, and the daughter in Ottawa, the house was to be sold, the place, yeah, and she got the money from it.
Did you get a good price on the house because of the condition it was in, Mrs. Nuttall?
Yeah, well, we were in no condition to buy,
mm-hmm.
And we had six children at the time, and so they came down, and I was gone to the store for groceries. When I come back, my oldest boy was staying with the children, and he said, Mom, there was a car came here with two ladies and a man in, and they said, tell your mother we can't rent the house in Cumberland, that it has to be sold. And so when I come home, and my husband came home, and I said, well, we'll go up to the Irish Shalos to get across the road. That's where we lived, you see, on top of the hill at Orleans. And we'll phone and find out. And so he said, well, she said we can't rent it, so why do you want to go and phone? So I said, come on, we'll go and phone. So we went up there and used the phone. And I talked to her, and she said, well, she told me then about them finding out that the house had been sold. So I asked her how much she wanted for the house. Well, she told me the price, you know, was not very much money. But it was an awful lot of money when you haven't got it. And, you know, when you've got a family of children and you want to move and, you know, you've got a lot of things on your mind, eh? So I thought, and with my husband, I had to do all the business. And so I said, so what are you asking for the place? And she told me, well, that's not much, but sure enough. So I said, I guess you want that all in cash, when she was mentioning the price. And she said, well, if anybody had it, but not too many people have it. And she said, so we'll take, you know, a good down payment. She mentioned the figure she wanted down. And she said, we'll take the rest by monthly payments. I still didn't have that. So I said to her, would you take my offer as a down payment? She said, what? And I offered her $200 as a down payment.
Which is quite a tidy sum then.
And she just hesitated for a minute, and I was about to hang up, you see, if you see it. She said, yes, I'll take that. I still didn't have $200, you know. I said, all right, when can I see you to do business? She said, as soon as you have the $200, you go down to Orleans, you go to the bank, and I'll phone Miss Charbonneau. And she said, she's the executor, and she'll take your money, and she will give you a receipt, and I'll give you the key. You can move in, and we'll arrange monthly payments. And I said, good.
So you got the house in the end.
We walked home. My husband said to me, where are you going to get $200? Are you going to go and ask Aunt Mabel? That was my old aunt, remember? I said, no bloody way. You don't, when you want to do something like that, you don't go to your relatives. You go and do it on your own. You do go a stranger. I said, maybe you pay extra interest, but your business is your own. To a loan company, and I borrowed $200, and we had $200 collateral, what we owned, well over that. But I went to a loan company, and I borrowed $200, and I went to Orleans and put it down, and...
There we go. What was the condition of the house like?
It had single floor.
Yeah.
Single floorboard. There was knots in the floor that could trip over them. You know, the boards are worn down.
The knots would come out, I suppose.
No, no, they wouldn't come out. They'd wear, your board would wear around the knot. The knot won't come out, you know. Unless it's a very rough, you know what I mean, sawed lumber, you know. And, well, and it had all wooden windows on, wooden double windows.
You've got aluminum now, have you?
And have, and it had, we changed a little inside here. And, the front door came in right there. The stack wasn't on that porch. The front wasn't on.
Oh, I see. When did you put that front porch on?
That front porch was put on about 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And this back part was on the house?
No.
It wasn't?
No. Put that on. Put that on 1972. And then in 74, 75, I widened it. I made it a little longer. My husband died in 73.
Mm-hmm.
And I had it made about 4 feet wide or longer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had to bring my old uncle here, and he was blind. And I had to bring him here for the winters and keep him. And I didn't want him to go upstairs so he wouldn't fall downstairs
at
night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a bed for him there at the end.
That's lovely.
And that's as long as we were here, and that's how we got the house, and that's the owner of the house, and that's it.
Did you have electricity and plumbing in the house when you moved in?
No.
When was that all put in?
It was an outhouse over there by the fence.
Uh-huh.
And lamps, coal oil lamps. And in 1947, we got the electricity in. 47, 48.
A big event in the family, no doubt?
Yeah. And 48. Between 47 and 48 in that, over that period, we got the electricity in. And the plumbing wasn't in until 22 years ago.
22 years ago.
We got the plumbing in.
The insulation hasn't been in that long.
No insulation in here. There was no insulation in the house.
Right, that
hollow walls. And we heated it with a wood stove, kitchen stove.
Goodness gracious. So it was just
you saw your breath many mornings when you got up in the morning. You saw your breath.
Well,
then you got the fire going well.
Well, just stands for good character, I suppose.
And
but the walls then must have been wood frame.
All wood frame. This is all solid wood.
Mm-hmm.
And in between the walls, it's about that deep. There's a space
about
that.
About 8 inches.
And I guess 78. I had 77, 78. I had $429 worth of insulation blown.
They blew it in. So
yeah,
it was
when it was the first year that the second year that the government was advertising, have insulation, have the house insulated, you got a refund. You send in your bill and you got a refund. And I got it in there.
You are a good businesswoman. Waiting for the right time.
Well, in the Depression, when you lived through the Depression and you had to depend on a couple of meals on 25 cents and you didn't learn how to handle it then, there's no hope of you ever trying to learn to handle it now. I'll tell you that. And so I had to do all that.
Wonderful. Do you know what kind of insulation is in the walls?
Yes, it's that that blowing back fluff stuff,
yeah,
you know.
I think it's called cellulose. I'm not sure.
And then up in the attic, there's the first, about in 74, I think it was, or 73, I put in that 3.5-inch bats, you know, like insulating bats, you know.
Yeah.
I got several rolls of that, and the boys went up in the attic, and they put it down in the attic. And then the other was blowing, there was about another foot of it or so blowing on top of that.
Made a difference?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's the length of time I'm here.
Okay. why don't we talk about the houses that were on the main street and maybe anything that you can remember about who lived in them and what happened to them and where they've gone?
I couldn't tell you all of that, I don't think, but as much as I can. Start, you want to start on the south side? Well, when you come down Spring Hill on the south side, the first house on your right coming down is Ken Smith's, and it was a small little house, but they had added to it and made it bigger to what it is there now. And there was nobody in it when we came here in that little house, and then Ken bought it in May, and they're the only ones that has lived there so far. Then next to them is the Anglican Church. Then next to the Anglican Church was a little red brick side house, and that was it was called the old McGonagall House. In many years before we came here, in the 20s, the McGonagall people that lived there, they had two little girls that had gone to school, maybe it was in the First World War years. Now whether it was this school or some school, anyway, come home from school, I think, they come up over the hill, and coming by past the quarry young there was a man by the name of LaRocque, and he lived down here near Beckett's Creek, and he murdered the two little girls up there. When the children didn't come home, they looked for them. Then they had a search out. I think it was him that even led them to where he buried them in a stone pile or something. Stones. Anyway, he was found out that he was the man that did it. And him and another man had been in some other insurance conniving that they did something to a fellow that his car drove off the end of the wharf here. And for to collect his insurance, they had him insured. And then they were found out that they were both hanged. Those two in the wrong places. Mm-hmm. You never heard of that, eh? Maybe I shouldn't have told you. But these McGonagall people was connected to this. This was their children.
Yeah.
They lived there. I remember old Mrs. McGonagall dying. I guess we were here about 2 years. 2 years. And she died 2 or 3 years ago. And then that house stayed in the family. That house was supposed to stay in family, you know. And in later years, Ken Smith bought it because that McGonagall Ole was his grandmother. Well, that was the McGonagall house. Next to the McGonagall house was the Devine house. I never knew the Devines. They had just moved out of there before we came here. But it was a Devine, I call it Devine. Next to the Devine house was Jim Hayes's. And Jim Hayes lived there. They were living there when we came to Cumberland. And then when they moved from there, I think it was, they had to rent it to a couple of different people, you know. But I think it was Dutch people that bought it. Never remembered the name of it, and it's sold now to you. I don't know the name of the people I said. Well, then you come on down. Where the garage is there now, there was no garage there. There was a little black, it was a dark house, we say black house, because the boards had been all weather discolored. It had never been painted, eh? Well, that house is moved around the corner facing Market Street now, around from the garage, and that has got all white siding on it. Well, that was a Newton house. Newton, yeah. And then beside there was the Mackenzie house. That's where Billy, or young Lou Ling lives now. Beside the Mackenzie house was the Baptist church. The Baptist church is now taken down. It's been taken down. Oh, now I can't I can't tell you how many years ago it's been taken down, but in the 60s I think it was taken down. I think it was the beginning of the 60s when it was taken down.
Is it a wood brick or
no, no, it was brick, a red brick building. Mm-hmm. Very nice church, too.
Nobody used it anymore?
No. Our children used to go to Sunday school there many years. Yeah, in the beginning of the 60s it was taken down. It was a narrow lot. The lot was sold. Now, I think the Lings have bought the lot with the house. But when they, Lou Ling, his father and mother bought that house from the Mackenzies. And Lou bought it from his father. And I think his father bought the lot after they'd taken down the church. He bought the lot there. Because the next lot beside it was a narrow lot, and Ken Hayes bought that house, but that lot, and Ken built that house over there. Now that was one of the new houses, only new houses that's added onto the street on that side. That's so far down. It was Ken Hayes's after we come here. Beside it is, that was Mrs. Allen's house, old Mrs. Allen. Dr. Kennedy's first wife was her grandmother, and after her mother died, Mrs. Allen raised the children there. Well, that was a vacant lot next over here beside Peter Street. That was a vacant lot, and then was the farmer house on Market Street there, and that belonged to him. Well, then they sold that to Dr. Kennedy, and Dr. Kennedy built that house where Fred Jones is living now.
Is that the one with half commercial, half house? There's that big window in the front?
No, no, it's not half commercial.
No, but they're using it, but it has very, very large windows, and there seems to be a boat in there. Is that the house you're speaking about?
Oh.
Do you know which house it is?
No, no, it's that one right over there. And it's facing Peter Street, it's not facing the main street.
Yes,
but it's on that lot, you see?
Roof, I think.
Yeah, it's got a dark black roof, it's a white house.
Yeah, white house.
Oh. And right beside it, is it was a little log house right beside the sidewalk. And that was the Brennan home. Les and Ada Thomas lives there. That was Ada's mother and father's home. And then beside them, and they have siding on the house now, you know. And right beside them is the Maple Hall. By the way, I missed out on one thing. Right beside the McGonagall house was the old Orange Hall. It stood right beside the McGonagall, the old Orange Hall, what's down at the museum ground. It was right beside the McGonagall house, between the McGonagall house and the Vine house. That's where the Orange Hall stood. And I guess those people now that have bought that, you know, have bought that, maybe they bought that lot too. They have to buy it from Mrs. Lackner, because Lackner's on the Orange Hall. He had later on bought that. Anyway, the girl guides used it for a while for the hall, you know, but I think 2 winters and that's put on. Now, for as far as the Maple Hall here, beside the Maple Hall is Dick Dunning. That house was there, and he was there as long as we were here. I'm just telling you from what I know from what we're here. And beside Dick Dunning is the Dale House, and that is what the John Trethawan lives there now. He was married to one of the Dale girls, his first wife. She's dead, and he married this other lady. Beside the Dale House, with that street running between, is R.J. Kennedy's home.
It's the red brick one.
The red brick one.
Okay, that's where I was.
Yeah. Now, that is commercial there. He is in that part there, that front part. Now, originally, before that, that used to be a store in the front. And I think the Fergusons run that store. I'm not so definitely sure of it, but that used to be a store. And R.J. Kennedy, you know, when we moved there, they lived there. And he used to, he was clerk of the township for many, many years. And Mrs. Kennedy had a maternity ward up there because she was a nurse. She used to take in maternity cases. And right beside them was this 3-story hotel. And it was owned by the Watsons. Old Mr. and Mrs. Watson owned that. Who owned it before, I don't know. But when we came here, they owned it. But it wasn't in hotel use at that time. They lived in one part, and their son and his wife lived in another part. The rest of the place was all vacant.
Is that where Barrett's is now?
That's where Barrett's store stands now. that lot. Half of that lot, you see, because Joyce Kennedy, the youngest daughter of R.J. Kennedy, she got the house when her mother died in that last room. She got the house there. And she bought that other half of that lot, you see. And she owns the other half of that lot. Now, as far as I know now, in case Barrett bought it after, I don't know. But maybe he did. I don't know. Because I know he keeps the rask up there. So whether he bought it right through to the market, I don't know. But across that was the fifth line, Dunning Road. It was always the fifth line. It's the fifth line. And it never came right down to the main street here. That was all barbed wire fence and old grassy field there out to Market Street. And it used to come down as far as Market and then go along Market and come out there beside Kennedy until they opened up that road and made a street out of it and went right up the hill, paved it. Now, next is John Watson's. And that, they had it when we came here, they lived there. And right beside John Watson's was another house in the trees there, and it was the old Spratt house. That's the other one what's down there at the museum. That's the Spratt house. That's where it stood. And then beside it was the LeGros lived down there when we came here. People by the name of LeGros. And that's where McRae's live now. And then the next, development is, well, that was Angus Wilson's cornfield. And then was Angus Wilson's. So from there right to the cemetery, that everything has been the same as it was when we came, until the new development went into that field, eh? Starting from the cemetery across from there, that was the old Dale farm. Wilford Sharkey's mother, that was her parents that owned that farm. And then it was sold from the Dales, it was sold to the Stackhouses. And Stackhouse and Minion was his son-in-law. And then Minion bought over from Stackhouse. And then after the Minions moved there, they had a fine big dairy farm there, you know, and that. And that's why them old buildings, them barns and that all belonged to it, you know. And he went out of the dairy business then in years. That double house was over in front of the cemetery. That was the Dale house. And they moved it on skids from where it was over there and put it over there. And they put, that was in 1943 when we moved here. That house was standing on skids right where it is there now. You know? And they built that, and Stackhouse built that new house over there. Well, then when Zuccherini's bought it over from Minion, and, you know, well, he added to it, and gorgeous inside. It is gorgeous. Has a sun and bath, and a big pool. Beautiful. I never, never, never was in a house that I ever saw the ceilings as beautiful as that. Down in the rec room, like a nice big family room, you go down steps from the outside into the family room, and the pool goes off of that big, you know, patio doors. And the ceiling is hanging like this, just like big long icicles hanging down. The white was hanging in big long peaks, you know, the plaster, you know, in different ways. You think you're in a fairy tale cave, you know, with the long points hanging down and the ice, like just like icicles.
Yeah.
The ceiling. And you'd only clean that and paint that with a spray gun, you know.
Well, you'd have to, yeah.
You'd never get around it with a brush, you know, spray gun. Well, then they made that home, they made a double house out of that. Then up a little farther in that field, there's a doctor living there, doctor somebody. Anyway, there's a doctor that built the house, whether he's still living here or what, I don't know, but that new house, see? And that was built in 81. That's when that was built, 80 or 81. Well, when I left off at the Wilson houses, They were for the employees that worked on the Wilson farm. And the Wilsons, that Wilsons was senator. Mrs. Wilson was the first woman senator in the government. And that was Senator Green Wilson, and her husband lived there.
What was her husband's name?
I don't know. I don't know. And likely it was a business of some kind, whether he was only farmer or what, I don't know. I don't know. And I met Mrs. Wilson, Senator, but he was dead when, by the time we came here. I met her, but Angus then bought the farm, like Angus when he came back from the war, and he took over the farm, you see, and then he's been there ever since. Well, then you come up as far, then the next little house is where Les Deedy used to live. Well, in the first place, Angus renovated the big house and had it all repaired and fixed inside. And for the year they were working at that, he built that other house there on that lot. And him and Alice lived there until the big house was all renovated and fixed up and that inside. And then they moved back into the big one. And then he rented that house. And then later on he sold it to Dennis Staff. And then Dennis Staff sold it to Les Deedy. And now, I don't know who it's sold to now, because Les bought a house over in the new estate across the road. Then next was the Tucker Cottage. That's where Peter Hartness is living now. That was the Tuckers, and it was called the Tucker Cottage. Then beside the Tuckers, that street going down to the river, there, then the next was old J.D. Ferguson. That big red brick house was old J.D. Ferguson. That's original as it stands there now, only it didn't have as much junk around it as it's there now. It looked like a junkyard. It was nicely kept. Then beside that was the big stone house. That was a Ferguson place too. Old Dr. Ferguson, J.D. Ferguson's father, was a doctor. And that's where he lived. And for a short while, J.D. Ferguson's uncle, Cecil Ferguson, had a drugstore in there. And he died just the year after we came here to Cumberland. And then there was no more drugstore there, you see. This J.D. Ferguson I'm telling you about is Jeannie Smith's grandfather.
Mrs. Smith, yes, we spoke to her.
You know,
Jean?
Jeannie?
She's still living in the back.
No.
Well, that's not Mrs.
No. That is her son that is married to Jeannie. But I'm saying Jeannie. Jeannie is that's her daughter now. This is Luba you were talking to.
Yes.
Her son Glenn is married to Jeannie. Jeannie was her father was a dentist, one of J.D. Ferguson's sons. Douglas Ferguson. And she's the youngest daughter. And she lives just straight down that street there in the first little house across the highway. That's where Jean and Lynn live. And then beside the big stone house, that lot and that's Mrs. Doug Ferguson, you know, the daughter. She bought that lot and she built that house here in 81. She built that house. Somewhere in that vicinity, it's sense that she built it. Then beside her is Larney Barnett's house. That is as it is was when we come here. That was owned by Larney. I think Larney built it. I'm not sure. That I'm not sure. But I know Larney and Nan lived there. That was their house and ever since, you know. Now, across the street, there was another building. It was burnt down just about a year or two before we came here to Cumberland. And it was called the Brethren Hall. Now, old J.D. Ferguson was a mission.
Across the street from Annie Barnett on the same side?
On this side. We're on this side of the street now. We're not on the other side. We're on this side. But just across the street that was down beside Annie Barnett. And it's Barnett, not Barnett.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And there was a Brethren Hall building there. I see old J.D. Ferguson, he was a Plymouth Brethren, missionary man. And he used to preach over there. Well, that hall burnt down. Well, I guess it burnt, it probably must have been a high foundation, because J.D.'s son, he had a bachelor son, and he used to cut ice on the river down here in the winter, and he packed it, he used the basement pipe, you know, put a cover over it, he just put a plank over the top then, you know, after that the hall had burnt, you know, and he used it for an ice house, and they packed ice in sawdust there, and in the summertime he used to sell ice to the people in the village, you know, for their refrigerators. There was no Frigidaires then. It was refrigerators, you know, ice boxes, see?
Yeah.
And used to sell ice to them for that. And then was the store. No, then was the Laframboises. Now, old Mr. and Mrs. Laframboise owned that house when we came here. And then when Mrs. Laframboise died, one of the daughters lived there. And her other daughter and husband, when he came back from the war, bought the lot at the back of them. And they built there. That was Gervais. And now the other Lafron. Now Mary and her daughter has moved up on the 10th line, you know, at Orleans. And they sold it to her sister Julia, and she was a Mrs. Bartol. And she lives with her daughter there, and the little boy, and then her son and his wife lives upstairs. And Bartol. And but the Laframboise house was sold to Shanks. Shanks lived there now. And then was the store, the Dunning store, just as it is. And the house beside it used to be an old Kennedy house. R.J. Kennedy. His father and mother used to live there. They lived on a farm. When you're going up the new highway to Orleans, you know, the place just before you get up to the Normandy corner, what has all these wood, cords of wood and that in the yard, a lumber yard up there. Well, that was the old Kennedy farm there. And when they sold that farm and they moved down, they lived in that house there. Well, then it was sold to the Dunnings, to Vic Dunning's mother and father lived there. When we came here, they were living there. And then is the United Church. And then across from the United Church now, the street that goes down there, that's Albert Street, I think, in there. Now, across here, that was John Dunning's parents lived there. John Dunning's grandparents. And Hattie Dunning. She kept a history of Cumberland from a way, way back. Who started here and when it came, and there was stagecoach and everything, you know, that used to come to Cumberland with the mail. She has the history of it. She was the one that kept the whole history.
So and Betty has it now.
No, Betty hasn't got it now.
Oh.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Unless they give it back in the Cumberland Women's Institute had that original history from Hattie. Mm-hmm. Whether they took a copy of it and give it back to Betty, I don't know. Maybe unless they did that. But that was handed over to the Cumberland Women's Institute. Unless they took a copy off of it and gave it back, I don't know. So that is what I know of that. Well, that was after the old people had died. I never met them. They were gone long before we came here. And Hattie lived there. Hattie lived there by herself. And when Mrs. McLean was her sister, she was married to a Presbyterian minister up around Hamilton someplace. And when he died, she came back and lived with Hattie.
Uh-huh.
But it was Hattie's house. Then Hattie died in 1956, Hattie died. And Hattie left the house to her sister then. And then when John came back from the war, he took the store over from his father and mother. So his father and mother lived here. This next house here was her father and mother's house right beside me here. And John took the store over. And then when John got married, him and Betty lived upstairs above the store. And Catherine got the house here from the father and mother. Well, Catherine got married, their sister, and moved out to B.C. And they rented that house for several years to Sonbergs, people by the name of Sonbergs. And then Mr. and Mrs. Sonberg moved to London, Ontario. And Betty and John bought the homestead here. And then he had bought that after Mrs. McLean went in the home and was in the home for a while, and the house was closed up. Nobody lived there. There was after she went out. And then I guess she didn't have money ahead of her or anything like that. And I guess to help her out or something, well, John didn't want to let the home go. And he bought that one. Then they bought this one here. And so then now John has sold the house, the McLean, the one where Mrs. McLean was in. And so John and Betty live here beside me. And then this house was the McCormick house, who we bought the house from, John McCormick. And then next here to us was Mrs. MacArthur lived here. That was a big red brick house. And when Mrs. MacArthur was at the stage that she couldn't, she was too old to stay by herself and look after herself, and they sold the place. They rented it for a while, then they sold the place. They rented it, and Arnott, she's people by the name of Arnott, you know, Mo Arnott that lived from Queenswood that died, he was a reporter for the Star, not the Star, for the...
Morrison Arnott.
Yeah. Well, Morrison Arnott's parents lived here for a while, rented the house. Mm-hmm. And then the house was, Lancaster's bought the place. Mm-hmm. And they owned there, and Doug and Joan Lancaster lived here. Then right beside Lancaster's house, Mrs. MacArthur's house, see? There used to be another big house standing right there. That was the Heath's house. People by the name of Heath. And that burnt down. That burnt down in 1955.
That's the one that your son
saw? Yeah. Yeah, that burned down in 1955.
Was that a wooden house? Or
it was a wooden house. Mm-hmm. And it was another house that hadn't been painted, and it was turned black from the wood weathering, you know. Now, beside that was a lot, that the house that belonged to that lot faced on Sparks Street down here. And it was standing right down at the back there, a little log house, a small little log house. That was owned by the Adams. Myrtle Adams owned her father and mother owned that, and then it was left to Myrtle. She was a high school teacher, and she was up by London, Ontario. And in 1949, the boys originated a boys' club around here. And Myrtle Adams, those two Air Force men helped them along, and Myrtle Adams gave them permission to use that house as a clubhouse. So they cleaned the house all out. And that mirror what's hanging on the wall there is an old-fashioned, in the front hall, is an old-fashioned picture frame. That was one that was clean, it was up in the attic, and it was to be thrown out. And my husband was over helping them to clean it up, and Reg brought it back, and he said, what was that, man? And I said, that was a picture frame. And I kept it, and I cleaned it up, and I had a mirror cut and put in it. And that comes from the old Adam house. Not there. Well, years on later, Dr. Kennedy bought that lot. The Adams house was taken down, the little house. Dr. Kennedy bought that lot, and he built the clinic there. The Heath house burnt down, and Dr. Kennedy bought that lot, too. And Linda Williams bought that house, sold the part of the lot, the Heath part, you know, to Jack and Linda Williams, because they had a house up in the farther up, you know, but they sold it. But he was transferred to the States in the Air Force, and if he wanted to transfer back specifically to here, they had to have property here. So they turned around and bought that lot. They liked that lot, the location of it, and they bought that lot. Then Bert Lewis bought, come along and made Dr. Kennedy an offer, and here he bought the lot. And Bert Lewis built that house, that new house here. That's beside the clinic. That's the two new houses on this side of the street, all the way down. Ann Ferguson's new house, the Angus Wilson's little one, Ann Ferguson's, and then the clinic and this one here. Well, Lewis has sold their house then to Miller's. And that's Mrs. John Watson's daughter that lives there now. Then is the store. That was the old McKean store. Then it was sold over to, from McKean's to a Rivington, young Rivington. And Rivington was a nephew of the Lancasters. And then Lancasters traded homes with him that they went in town. He traded his big home and gave him whatever their bargain was, I know, and came out here to the store. And that was his nephew. And then right across from the store in that vacant lot, there used to be a service station there, Supertest service station. And then there was a long garage building, you know, building at the back of it there. When we came here, Irwin Piquette was there. And he had a pool room all in the back there, you know, and a little service station and gas pumps. And then ahead up farther, after the war, that was all a big field, you know. I think it was owned by Lackner. Skeletons. People by the name of Alex Skeleton. There was a big stone house, just like Carlton, like Norma Clendenin's house. Well, a stone house like that was built right where the Lackner house was built later. And it burnt, and that was owned by the McEachrans. And McEachrans, it was sold to Alex Skeleton. And then Mrs. Skeleton, he was the man that disappeared. He went down in Southern Africa, I think there's some place down there. Went down on some expedition or something, and he disappeared. And Mrs. Skelton sold the place to Lackner. So the house was burnt down. Lackner's built that new modern thing there, you know, in its place. Then Lackner owned all that field. You see all the fields there, eh? Well, across the house, across from the Anglican Church, that is Chardron lives there. And then the rest was down the road by the Department of Highway Garage was there. But down that street, going down past the Department of Highway Garage, there was no houses. There was nothing there, right until you got to the old station. And the station was, Mrs. Cameron lived there. And that Mrs. Cameron, her husband got killed on the CN line that run through here. He was, I think, crushed between two boxcars. And so she got this, when they took up the line, you know, give up the line here and that, she got the station. Whether it was given to her or what, some kind of pay, you know, and everything, a home. She was given the home to live in and everything that was owned by the CN line, and it was given to her. Well, that's where Mrs. Jones lives now, Loretta Jones, Mrs. George Jones. That was her daughter, and she married George Jones. Well, that's where she's living. Well, now, down along that, then the hills, Florence Hill, when her husband came back from the war, they bought that property along there. I don't know how much of it they bought at the meantime, but they built the house. The first house on the right-hand side, when you go down the street past the Department of Highway Garage. Well, that house was built by Florence Hill's husband, Harry Hill. And then it seemed as if they bought you know, one little piece of land more, or, you know, or they bought the field probably there. They made a trailer park out of the field. They bought, and then the lot beside them, their nephew lived there, Bob McEachern and his wife lived there for a while, and they bought that little house when they moved away to the north. They bought that little house. And then Harry's brother lived across the street, bought a lot and built a house, a bungalow there. And then when they moved from there, Harry and Florence bought that lot and that house. And then Inge and Keith Miller, and she was Inge Hansen, you know, over here. Inge and Keith, they bought a lot there from them and they built their house. Then right up from them, then old Mrs. McEachern, they bought a bungalow someplace and they moved it there on a truck. And they put it on the next lot. And old Mrs. Old Granny McEachern lived there. Well, then when she got too old to, you know, she had to be looked after, Florence took her over there. And, of course, Florence got that house, too. And then they have the lot right at the back of there. That's where Mrs. Finley is living now. They bought that little house right at the back of the garage. And then there's the Department Highway. Then the rest part of that field, that was owned by the Lackners, you know. And they sold that all where the Crescent is. The Lackners sold all that. And that's Crescent. They sold it all in lots and made like a crescent out of it, the street around like that, and had it all subdivided into lots. And they sold all them lots to all the people that is living down through there now. And there's the Lackner house. And then the separate school was built up there at the foot of the hill. Mm-hmm. That was built in... the early 60s. So that's what I know of from Spring Hill down here in the 43 years. That's the changes that has went on today.
That's great.
I've forgotten. I leaned back, but I wonder if it'll pick up the voice. It's good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. No problem. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Thank you very much.
So that's all I know of it. Best I can do for you.
That's great.
Okay, that's the end of the interview with Mrs. Nettle.